Okay, yes, the big truth that this psalm is singing to us is this: the Lord is your keeper. So have a look at verse 2. Verse 2 says, my help comes from the Lord, who made the heaven and earth. Verse 4, it says, behold, he who keeps Israel will neither slumber nor sleep. And then verse 5, and this is the bit, it says, the Lord is your keeper. That's the truth that you need to take home this evening. There's one thing to remember, if you like. The Lord is your keeper. We'll work through each word. So the Lord is your keeper. This is not the help of some fake idol. This is the help of the one true and living God. This is the help of the God who is slow to anger and abounding in steadfast love. This is the God who revealed himself in history through the Lord Jesus. And particularly, verse 2, this is the God who made heaven and earth. If you are a Christian this evening, you are not helped by any created thing. You are helped by the creator of all things. Now just imagine for a moment if the heavens were your help. So the sky and the sun and the moon and the stars all did exactly what was best for you. Or imagine the earth was your help. So even its rotation matched exactly what you needed at that moment. Well, that's what you have, and so much more if you're a Christian, because the Maker is your help, the Lord, the Maker of heaven and earth. This Lord is, verse 5, it continues, your keeper. So in verse 4 it says, behold, he who keeps Israel, that's all the people of God, the church as we would think today. But verse 5, the your there, I don't read Hebrew, but I'm told it's individual, a singular. The Lord is your keeper. The keeper of each individual believer. He doesn't just look out for the professional Christians, the pastors, the theologians, and overseas missionaries, but every single one of us who trusts in the Lord Jesus. The stay-at-home mum, the person going out to work, the retired person, whether young or old, whatever nation you may be from, he is your keeper if you're trusting the Lord Jesus. And the Lord is your keeper. Now that little word, it comes up actually quite a lot in the Old Testament. If you do a little search in your ESV study app, Bible, well, you're on your phone, you'll find it. And we read of all sorts of keepers of sheep and prisons and vineyards, keepers of a king or a queen's baggage and their wardrobes and their forest. Sometimes there's keepers of a city wall or a city gate. A keeper is someone who takes responsibility for their charge, for the well-being of it. They'll look after it. If necessary, they'll lay down their life for it. And the Lord is your keeper. He's taken responsibility for you. He would sooner destroy heaven and earth than see you destroyed. He guards you as the apple of his eye. He hides you as the great treasure of his heart. He keeps you as his betrothed bride. That's the truth that's in this psalm. The Lord is your keeper. That's the big truth. And so the big implication is this. It's really very simple. It's you're safe. You are totally safe. And to round this truth, well, this implication home, he gives us three pictures and three promises. The three pictures, the first is in verse 3. It says, he will not let your foot be moved. This is a song of ascents, and I think what that would happen is the Israelites would sing it as they made their pilgrimage up to Jerusalem when it was time for the Passover, and that pilgrimage was sometimes long and sometimes difficult, often fraught with danger. If you went over your ankle, it was more of a problem than today because there isn't a mountain rescue or helicopter ambulances to come and save you. And the paths of life that we walk as Christians, they're dangerous. And the journey to heaven is difficult. We must go through many tribulations, through many hardships to enter the kingdom of God. And sometimes we will wonder, will I fall? But verse 3 says, he will not let your foot be moved. He will not let prosperity trip you up. He will not let adversity push you down. He will not let you fall away from him. In every in every case, for every believer, they will be able to say, like Job, my foot has held fast to his ways, because the Lord will not let their foot be moved. That's the first picture. The second is in verse 3 as well. He will not let your foot be moved. He who keeps you will not slumber. Behold, he who keeps Israel will neither slumber nor sleep. Sleep is not something you normally want in a keeper. Imagine if Jordan Pickford had decided to take his afternoon nap while playing for England. It would have been a rather different story to the World Cup, and particularly to him. We wouldn't have valued him at all as a keeper. A sleeping keeper is not a good thing. Now, today, a sleeping goalkeeper would be a very rare sight, but back then it wasn't so uncommon. A watchman, after hours of straining their eyes, they might fall asleep. Or a captain of a ship, having to hold their course through the long hours of the night, they might drift. Or even a mother, after days of nursing a very sick child. All these might have fallen asleep. But the Lord will never fall asleep on you. He who keeps you will not slumber. We may feel like from time to time that the Lord has forgotten about us, that he doesn't have time to think about us, or that he's taking a little nap from looking after us. But there is not a moment where he is not keeping his watchful eye on you, and there is not a moment where his hand is not ready to help you. When storms come crashing into our lives, it is never because he has gone to sleep. No, it's perhaps because he's keeping us more than ever. He who keeps you will not slumber. It's the second picture. And the third is in verse 5. The Lord is your keeper. The Lord is your shade on your right hand. The sun shall not strike you by day, nor the moon by night. There's nothing quite so close as the shade that lies on our hands. And the Lord is that close to us. His Spirit dwells within us. We are united to his Son. He will be as close can be, protecting you from the dangers of the day and of the night. The Lord is your keeper. Three pictures of safety, and that leads to three promises in verses 7 and 8. The first is verse 7. The Lord will keep you from all evil. Now, this doesn't mean that he will bubble wrap us. What parents who love their child ever bubble wrap them? No, he won't bubble wrap us. He will not keep us from all pain, and he will not keep us from all suffering. He won't even keep us from evil touching our lives, and he won't always keep us from doing evil. But he will do whatever it takes to keep sin from ruling you, from error infecting you, from despair crushing you, and from pride destroying you. He will do whatever it takes to conform you perfectly to the image of his Son. He will do, in other words, whatever it takes to bring you eternal joy and eternal good. Though we may have no clue at the time of why he allows some things in our lives, he will keep us from all evil in the end. He takes the sting from death, the teeth from the devil, and the claws from this world. The verse continues, the Lord will keep you from all evil. He will keep your life. That word life is literally your soul, the very core of your being. He will hold on to it. The soul united to his Son, he will not lose, but for better or for worse, for richer or for poorer, he will keep it for himself. In a good marriage, you don't see a spouse getting rid of the other because they're feeling distant. And how much less will God get rid of you, though you may feel that your soul is wandering from him, or though you may feel distant and discouraged and depressed? He will keep your soul, and he will keep it for himself. And verse 8, it says, the Lord will keep your going out and your coming in from this time forth and forevermore. He will keep you as you go out in the morning to work. He will keep you as you come home at night in the evening. He will keep you as you go out in the youth of life and as you come in at the end to die. He will keep you in all of space and in all of time until forever has turned into forevermore. you will be kept. And the point is, you're safe if you're trusting Jesus. You are entirely and completely safe. No matter how you may feel, you're safe. And if there is any doubt as to whether that could really be true, the Lord sent his son. Now, Jesus sung this psalm like no one else has ever sung it. He looked to the Lord for his help alone, and that freed him, actually. He could sleep in the storm. He never worried what anyone thought of him. He lived with nowhere to lay his head as an outcast, and yet he was perfectly content. He never gave in to temptation. He set his face like flint to do the will of his father because he knew the Lord was his keeper. He was safe. And yet he gave up that safety on the cross. And God gave him up for our sin. As sinners, we need help. We need big help, constant help, effective help. But as sinners, we don't deserve the help that we desperately need. We deserve instead the opposite. Every night we go to our beds having done things that deserve nothing but God's wrath, nothing but for him to not keep us, but to cast us from himself. But on the cross, Jesus was thrown away from God. He was forsaken, all so that we might be kept. If there was any doubt that these promises could possibly be true, then all we need to do is look at the cross to see that God means to keep these promises. Every night we go to bed having done terrible things, but because of Jesus, every morning his mercy is anew. His help is at hand, and he is keeping us, and we're safe. If you're here this evening, and you're not trusting Jesus to save you, if in the end you are looking to your bank balance, or to your family, or to anything else to keep you, well, then you're not safe. And in fact, even if legions of angels, and you had all the money in the world, and the good regard of every person who's ever lived on the planet, you would never be safe because you're making the Lord your enemy by not looking to him for help. But if you are trusting Jesus, the Lord's your keeper, and he will keep you from all evil. He will keep your life. The Lord will keep your going out and your coming in from this time forth and forevermore. The Lord's your keeper. So you're safe. And that starts to change us when we get that. A number of centuries ago, the Spurgeon tells this story. It's not mine. Spurgeon tells great stories. A number of centuries ago, there was a man who we only know as Captain D, was commanding a vessel sailing from Liverpool to New York. And on one voyage, he had his family with him. And on that voyage, as they were sailing across the Atlantic Sea, a furious storm rose up, so much so that the boat tipped to the point that all the people fell out their bunks. So they were very worried, obviously. They were terrified. People started getting dressed. They started getting ready to bail water. One of the passengers, though, was this little girl. She woke in a fuss and a worry, and she asked what was happening. And someone replied to her that the storm had struck the ship. And this little girl, she was the son of Captain D, and the daughter of Captain D, and she asked, "Is father on deck?" And the person said, yes, father's on deck. And the story goes, this little girl dropped herself back on her bed and was asleep immediately. My friends, our lives feel tossed and turned on the storms of this life. Your father's on deck. He's your keeper. You're safe. And so this leads to the big application. It's not really even an application. It's just something that the psalmist does. He doesn't command us to do anything. We're just meant to sing it along with him. The one thing that he does in the psalm, the one thing this psalmist does, is in verse 1, and it says, "I lift up my eyes to the hills. From where does my help come? My help comes from the Lord." What are we to do with this psalm? The one thing that we need to do is we need to lift up our eyes. When you're suffering and you wonder how you will ever get through, lift up your eyes. The Lord's your keeper. You're safe. When people let you down and you're called to forgive, lift up your eyes. The Lord is your keeper. You're safe. When you're anxious about the future or your plans lie shattered on the ground, when you're battling sin or laid low with guilt, when you are thankless and dry, or when you're despairing and grieving, lift up your eyes. The Lord is your keeper. You're safe. Look to him, help you need it. And one final thing. When Jesus calls us to let go of the things we think keep us safe, when Jesus calls us to give up our money and our reputation and our luxuries and our times and our lives for him and the gospel, which he does, and when that just seems absolutely terrifying, what do we need to do? We need to lift up our eyes. In other words, when Jesus calls us to walk in his footsteps, we need to put our eyes where he did. Not on our troubles that will so easily discourage us, not on our sin, but on the Lord. The Lord is your keeper. You're safe. Let's pray. I'll hand back to Jack. Father, we're so sorry for how we forget this wonderful truth that having given up your son, how will you not, along with him, give us all things? And so we worry and we get discouraged and we get downhearted and we don't trust you as we ought. Please, Father, forgive us. Please help us to lift up our eyes. Thank you so much that in your son, you have become our keeper. Please, Father, help us this week to lift up our eyes to you, to remember that we're safe. And so, Father, please help us to live in obedience to your son, no matter what this week may hold. And we ask it for your glory. Amen.